Thank you, Fee, for reading the Bible for us. Now, it's time to study the Bible. So as we come to study God's Word, let us ask our living God for His help to understand it and also put it into practice. Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we study Your words, open our hearts and minds through Your Spirit so that we'll have better understanding of Jesus' resurrection. Help us to understand Your word clearly and help us to receive it by faith. And also help us to put it into practice. Be with me, Lord, as I'm teaching Your word. Help me to be clear. Help me to be faithful to Your word, teaching only what Your scripture says. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple of years ago, I went to Avoca Beach near Gosford with my friends. I had been to a beach before, but this was my first time trying to swim in the ocean where there were huge waves. And I was a little bit scared as I was not a good swimmer. But my friend John told me that I don't have to be scared of the waves at all because I can see the wave, the size of the wave coming towards me. He told me when a big wave comes that I think that I can't handle it, then I can simply dive underneath it and hold my breath. And when the right waves come, then I can simply ride on it without hesitation and enjoy the strength of the natural phenomenon. And indeed, John was right. As I could see the coming waves, as I could prepare for them, I was not scared, not confused, and not discouraged. However, unlike me, the disciples were scared, were confused, and were discouraged because they could not see the coming event. They could not prepare for it that on Friday, Jesus would die on the cross as a criminal. And their hearts was not prepared for this at all. So their hopes were dashed. They were full of despair. And today's passage shows that these are the emotions of the two disciples who were on the road to a village called Emmaus. And Jesus joined them and walked along with them to help them to regain their hopes in Him again. And Jesus does this in two ways. Firstly, Jesus helps them to see Him in the scriptures, that it was God's plan that He had to die on the cross to enter into His glory. And this is shown in verses 26 to 27, as Jesus said to the two disciples, saying, "Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter His glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning Himself. Here Jesus is leading a Bible study with the disciples, going through all the scriptures, explaining to them that He was meant to die on the cross to forgive their sin. And He was meant to rise from the grave to make them right before God. He was saying to them that this was part of God's plan. Yet, we could wonder why Jesus had to do a Bible study without revealing Himself. Why Jesus didn't reveal Himself straight away to the disciples saying, "Hello, surprise, here I am, I'm alive." As verse 16 says, "But they were kept from recognizing Him." The disciples were kept supernaturally from recognizing Jesus, which begs the question, why? This is because Jesus wanted them to build their faith on God's word, not by seeing His physical appearance. Jesus will be with them just for another 40 days, and then He's going back to His Father's kingdom. So Jesus didn't want them to rely on His bodily presence for proof or guidance anymore. But He wanted them to rely on God's word to light their path, build their faith, and remove their doubts. So, While they were kept from recognizing Jesus, Jesus asked them a question in verse 17, saying, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And one of them, named Cleopas, was so amazed that Jesus didn't know anything about what had occurred in Jerusalem, saying, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" And then Jesus asked, "What things?" And they said, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth." And then they started to tell Jesus what had happened in Jerusalem. Yet, please notice that in verses 19 to 24, the disciple said everything in past tense. They referred to Jesus not in present tense, but in past tense, which means they don't believe that Jesus is alive. So they say Jesus was a prophet. Jesus was powerful in word and deed. And Jesus was going to redeem Israel. And they also said they had hopes in him in verse 21. This means they don't have hope in him anymore. This is because when Jesus died and placed in the tomb, all their hopes were buried with him. So their hopes are past tense. However, we can still have hope in Jesus because he has risen from the grave. And Jesus being crucified was part of God's plan. And this part of God's plan is clearly written in the scripture. So Jesus knew that their disbelief of the resurrection comes from their misunderstanding of the scripture. They had only seen some parts of the scripture where it says that the Messiah will come and bring hope, joy, and victory. But they hadn't seen the other parts where it says the Messiah will suffer, and then that will require him to go, that will make him to die on the cross for them. So Jesus says to the two disciples that they would not be discouraged if they knew their Bible. As it says in verse 25, saying, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken." And then Jesus started to explain to them about what the scriptures really says about him. Starting from Moses, including all the prophets in the Old Testament. Here, we are not sure which passages in the Old Testament that Jesus explained to his disciples, as it doesn't say so. But we can assume that he probably began with Genesis 3, where it says the seed of the woman crushing the head of the serpent. And I'm sure that he went through Psalms, such as Psalm 2, Psalm 16, Psalm 22, and so on, all prophetic messages about the Messiah. And I am confident that he mentioned Isaiah 53, where it says, "Wounded for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities." So here we are really not sure how Jesus explained all the scriptures to the disciples. But there's one thing that we know for sure, that as the disciples see Jesus in the scriptures, as they realize that the whole scripture is referring to him, as they realize that Jesus being crucified on the cross was plan of God, and as they realized that God vindicated Jesus by rising him from the dead, their hearts start to burn within them. As it says in verse 32, saying, they ask each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" And this applies to us. As we see Jesus in the scripture, our hearts will start to burn, which means our hearts will be filled with joy, excitement, and assurance and hope that our Lord has risen from the grave. And when I was living on Moreland College as a student down the road, Herring Road, and I found Sydney winter quite cold. So when I ventured out, I always wore long pants and a couple of layers inside to warm myself. And when it was extremely cold, I also wore a muffler to keep myself warm. But for my good friend Rob, who was also living on campus, it didn't matter whether it was summer or winter, and it didn't matter whether it was inside or outside, and it didn't actually matter whether it was freezing cold or boiling hot. He always wore shorts and a t-shirt. So one day, out of curiosity, during winter, I asked him, "Dude, aren't you cold? You need to wear long pants to warm yourself." And then he said, "I don't need to wear a long pants, mate. I have tough skin. These shorts are enough for me." And I think he's right. He may not need to wear a warming jacket like me to warm himself physically because he's good at putting up with the cold. But to warm himself spiritually, he doesn't have any alternatives or any other ways but to see Jesus in the scripture. And this applies to us. We may have different ways to warm our physical bodies, but to warm our hearts, spiritually, we don't have any other options or any other choices, but we must see Jesus in the scripture, that he died on the cross to forgive our sin, and he rose again from the grave to make us right before God. Secondly, as Jesus helped his disciples to see him in the scripture, now he helps them to see him in the flesh, that indeed he has risen from the grave. And we can see this in verses 28 to 31. Jesus and the two disciples arrived at Emmaus, and Jesus stayed with them. And Jesus, without revealing himself, he took bread, blessed, broke it, and then gave to them. Then suddenly, their eyes were opened. They realized that this is Jesus. He has risen from the grave. And here, we don't know how they recognized Jesus. Maybe they saw nails mark on his hand while he was breaking the bread. Maybe they were reminded of Jesus' miracle of feeding 5,000 and sharing the Last Supper with them. Or maybe it was just the work of the Holy Spirit. So we don't know how they recognized Jesus, but we know that as soon as they recognized Jesus in the flesh, they didn't waste time. They didn't hesitate to tell this good news to other disciples. So with excitement and joy, they stood up and returned to Jerusalem at once to tell this good news to other disciples that Christ has risen indeed, which means God's promise remains for them, which means death is defeated for them, which means they are not abandoned or forsaken, but they are commissioned to tell this good news to others. As it says in 33, verses 33 and 34, saying, "They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.'" And I'm wondering, here in 2018, on Easter Sunday, what is your response to Jesus' resurrection? What is our response to Jesus' resurrection? This amazing eyewitness account by the two disciples. If the two disciples come to our church here at Macquarie Chapel and say to us, like he said, they said to the other disciple, saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon," I guess we can respond only one way or the other. We can either doubt it or believe it. We can either dismiss it or trust it. We can either ignore it or pin all our hopes on it. Then let me ask you, How is it for you? What is your response to Jesus' resurrection? If you are still doubting, if you are still dismissing, if you are still rejecting, then you are missing the most wonderful message that you could ever hear. But if you believe Jesus' resurrection, if you trust in it, if you pin all your hopes on it, then praise and thank God. Be excited, be happy like the two disciples who were on the road to Emmaus. Because Jesus' resurrection means God's promise remains for you. God's Son, Jesus Christ, defeated death for you. And it means you are not abandoned or forsaken, but you are commissioned to tell this good news to others. And it means you are assured that you will be with Jesus in paradise, where there is an abundance of joy, pleasure, beauty, peace, harmony, perfection, goodness forever. When I was studying at Moline College, which was a Bible college, there was a room called the Common Room. It was a place where the Bible college students had a rest by having tea or coffee. And we went there whenever we needed a study break. And one day, I was in the Common Room, and I saw a beautiful morning tea on the table. And there were all kinds of food and chocolates and banana bread. It looked absolutely yummy. So I approached the table. But then I saw a label on it saying, for lecturers only. I was not a lecturer, but only a student. So I didn't touch at all, I promise. Yet, on rare occasion, there was a beautiful morning tea on the same table in the common room with a label saying, for everyone, help yourself. And as soon as I saw the sign, I rang my friends who were also studying in the library saying, please come to the common room as soon as possible. There's a delicious morning tea for everyone. So when my friends arrived, we all enjoyed our study break with the beautiful morning tea as it was not only prepared for certain people, but for everyone. In the same way, the forgiveness of sin, the purpose of life, the promise of paradise was not only prepared for certain people, but everyone who believes and pins all their hope in Jesus, that he has risen from the grave. So as we believe in Jesus' resurrection, as we trust in it, as we put all our hopes on it, forgiveness of sin is yours. Eternal life is yours. The promise of paradise is yours. We don't fear death anymore, but we have absolute assurance and certainty that we will be with Jesus in paradise forever. So let me tell you everyone, happy Easter. Let us be excited. Let us be happy because Christ is risen indeed. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks for your love and grace that is perfectly expressed in Jesus' death and resurrection. We give you thanks that we can clearly see Jesus in the scriptures, that he had to die on the cross for our sin, but rose from the grave to make us right before you. And we give you thanks in Jesus' death and resurrection, we have complete forgiveness of sin, the purpose of life, and the promise of paradise. So Father, help us to be excited and joyful that Christ is risen indeed. And help us to tell this good news to others, our neighbors, friends, and families, so that we can all enjoy the joy, excitement, assurance, and hope together that we have in our risen King, our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen.